There we go.
There we
Okay,
go.
okay, okay, okay. Okay. So, I guess we can say RIP to some of our fellow comic shops in the area that I guess used to exist then. So, yeah,
Yeah,
crazy.
Wicked Awesome Comics no longer exists.
Where was that at?
Ohio.
Oh, okay.
And Castle Toys and Games doesn't exist.
Where was that at? Also in Ohio?
No, that was P Pennsylvania. That was in Newcastle.
Oh. I wonder if Giant Man now is the shop that's there. But oh well.
I
I
don't
know
know.
because I know they're in Newcastle, so
Well, I type because I double check every time we send out our flyers for
yeah.
our show, and those two popped up and says, "Get the big red banner going. This location is closed permanently." And I'm like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah,
So.
that happens. So, it, so what we're talking about is just so you guys know, like we're now in propaganda mode for the con, and yep, see right there, little flyers, we have some posters, it looked like that. That cake was real, and it was very delicious. It was really delicious, in fact.
Instant diabetes.
Oh, it was great. My diabetes was great. It was great. I loved it. I definitely was like almost comatose later. It was awesome. Anyway, so what we do is like we not only do we go around to the local stores and drop them off, we actually mail them out to some of the regional stores, which includes like most of Ohio, some Maryland, Michigan, New York, West Virginia, even down into Virginia and Kentucky have actually gotten some. So if you're a shop that would like some flyers and stuff for the show, let us know. Like, shoot us an email, hit us up. We will totally get you some mailed out right away. We just did a bunch of that. I actually hit the only store in the city that does now not have the flyers is Bill and Walt's because they were closed when I went there. No surprise, because
That's
every
funny.
time I check their hours, I go down there and they're not open for that time. So I
They're
don't know when they're actually open.
Their hours
So,
are so weird. And
yeah.
I used to show, that used to be a Bill and Walt's in my area, like for the
Yeah.
longest time. And they did the same thing. It was a never, the only consistent hours they had were like Saturdays and Sundays because we play Magic.
Yeah.
And those were the only Monday through Friday, it was a coin toss. It could have
Yeah.
been open Monday, but closed Friday, or
Right.
closed Monday, open Friday. Who knew? It was at the discretion of the owner.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it was super weird, but like I'm not mad about it. It's just I'm mad
No,
that I paid to park for that,
no.
that little bit of time and then was like, what the
Oh.
fudge? So that was the part I was a little annoyed by, but I stopped
Understandable.
at Ides, Doom Planet, and Arkham today. They were the last ones in the area to hit. So everybody but Bill and Waltz has now been poked at. So you'll see you should see posters or flyers up in any of those stores, in every other comic shop in the city. I also hit Terminus Games. If you guys check out Terminus, it's right beside Arkham. Jeff and I had some really great discussion today. It was a good time. So did Ken and I down at Ice. It was a lot of fun. I got to go
Nice.
up in the office and hang out with him for a little bit. He's always a nice guy to hang out with. I like him a lot. So I think he and I can be friends. But
Nice.
yeah, it's good. So some stuff to talk about before we get into comics. So Justin's going to talk about C2E2 a little bit because he was there for that. But also our really the only celebrity death I want to talk about is because we didn't it kind of happened in these the 2 weeks that we were on there, but we lost comic creator Sam Keith in that time frame. And Sam was one of the most what's the word I want?
Iconic.
I not not iconic individual, like most, like his style was very his own, right?
Yes,
He had a
yes.
very distinct style that a lot of people love, a lot of people try to mimic, but they don't ever
Emulate.
land it. Yeah. But he, he
Definitely
did
one of the.
Max for a long time. He did Sandman. He did Lobo with Scott Ian. He did a bunch of other stuff. It's a bummer that he's gone. And I never got to, I don't think I've ever actually gotten to meet him, but he always seemed like a kind of a weird guy, but I think we get along.
It's definitely one of the 90s artists that made the 90s. Like, you always hear the joke among collectors around our age and older that the comics of the 90s were garbage. Well, his books were not. It's and it, he did it, like you said, he did everything. He did the Max, he did Sandman, he did Marvel Mass Presents. He did a lot of the Wolverine ver he was it he
Yeah, he did that Wolverine
he
book.
did the Wolverine first Wolverine first Venom meeting and stuff like that. And it's always those, like, whenever that we get the variants for the newer stuff, if he did a variant, I snag that sucker because it's I enjoy him. My wife was a big fan of him. She has a signed copy of the Max in her collection. It's a sad day because he was still relatively young.
Yeah, he was like in his early 60s, early 50s, I think, so World War II.
63, I think, something
He
like
was
that.
kind of young for what we deal
As
with.
and he was the last of the three that died that within those couple weeks. Is we lost Chuck Norris, we lost Nicholas Brendan from Buffy, and then he was the last of the three there that passed away, or the first of the three, depend on time, because I think he his death wasn't announced until later. But it's we're losing some good pop culture icons of our era, definitely. I was a little bit sad about Chuck Norris, that despite his views on certain aspects. I used to be a student of his karate school when I was a little kid. My dad signed me up for so he always has a special place in my heart for that. And then everybody who watches Buffy, Xander was a integral part of the story. It's
It
like
sucks that the
even
reboot isn't happening, but because I
I
feel that
think it would have
probably would
ruined it. I think it would have ruined everything. It's
I
I, reboots do
well
not.
it's not it wasn't going to be a reboot, it was going to be a revival. So it like picks up, basically it would be canon of like X amount of years later, right? Like so, but I don't know if it's going to be can if it would have been canon post what the books were that say season 7, 8, 9, 10, or if it's just whatever. But it is I'm a little bit bummed out because I love that show, and I'm currently rewatching Agents of Shield. And I'm now into season 6, which is the penultimate episode or season. And it feels like this season specifically is like super Buffy vibe. Like, because it's got like almost like a Hellmouth dimension, dead people coming back to life, people that can't die. Like, it's definitely a Whedon. It was definitely Whedon touching on that one. And then I have one more season to go because I never finished the show. I only watched the first 5 seasons before, which is where it felt right to shut it down. Even in the rewatch, it felt like that.
And that wasn't my favorite Marvel movie from that era, is or Marvel TV series. I liked Carter,
Agent Carter. Oh
Peggy,
yeah, that was
Agent
really good
Carter.
too.
I
The
thought it was
first
a
season
shame
was
they,
very good. The second season, not so much.
well, but that you see where they're like, they phoned it in and they're like, yeah, we're just gonna We'll give you two seasons and then we're done. And we little did we know that Peggy Carter would be a integral part of the Marvel Universe to this day. And it's a shame they didn't let like her character, like I would love to have a whole series of, her adventures well after the Cap situation and everything. It's
Well, from what I understand, the last season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is basically a season of Agent Carter. But
Yeah.
I think around that time is when streaming started to get real big and ratings were just dropping everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's why. Well, yeah, that would have been right around the pandemic. Because the
Well, a
pandemic
little
is
bit
when,
before.
well, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the last season of that was in 2020.
Yeah.
And Agent Carter, I think, was the year before. So
Think 2018, I think.
maybe.
Something like it.
May
I
2019 at best. So
Yeah.
but yeah,
Yeah,
it
but
was still very good though. Like I really enjoyed it.
yeah, I like the because you got to see like the first Black Widows, technically. You got to see more about the Red Room and more about the beginning of S.H.I.E.L.D., which that fascinated me the most. Like I thought that
SSR
was like
stuff.
brilliant writing and everything, but it's a shame that they have I Marvel had ideas and then they're like, oh, this isn't working. And if they just stuck with it, I think that it would have been better. Just like
I agree.
was it Con DC should have kept Constantine on NBC because that was an awesome show. And it was a shame that they're like, oh, this isn't getting the ratings we want. It's not competing with Marvel. You had the fans. You had people still want him to be Constantine. Like, and it's
Oh, he was
been,
great.
yeah,
Then that's why they
he
put him
fit
on
that.
to that's why they put him on Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
And he was amazing on there too. So
He does all the voice act. He still does the voice acting for the animated stuff. So
yeah.
it's a shame the little things that it's like when people are like,
Yeah.
well, there are never good ideas for comics and stuff and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, no, there were good ideas. It's just Hollywood didn't have the patience
Yeah,
and they
there's it's
didn't.
this bad follow through. Yeah,
Yeah.
like because like the Swamp Thing show that was on HBO, it only went one season and it was phenomenal. The Watchmen show was also great. I'm really looking forward to Lanterns. We'll see how that goes. Peacemaker's been great.
But I credit that with just John Cena being John Cena and taking the character into his own right there. I had that discussion with my wife about wrestlers. Certain wrestlers are really good at acting, and that he just happened to be one of them that's gifted and got his start,
I don't know that I needed a season two of Peacemaker because I thought season one was so good. Season two, like the first half, it was just super slow to me, and that's my only real complaint about it.
It picked up though. I'd be down for a vigilante solo. I think
Oh
that
yeah, that'd be
would
cool.
be fun.
So, speaking of DC stuff, so let's talk about the Supergirl trailer real quick. Did you see this yet?
No. I saw bits and pieces. I've
Okay.
been kind of keeping track of the Spider-Man one more,
Okay.
because and bits and pieces of the Avengers stuff dropping. Like
Okay, so I want to
we're
talk
starting to
about
get
the
the
two that
sprinkle.
you didn't watch because I want to talk about Supergirl and Masters of the Universe. So Supergirl actually looks pretty good. It definitely is going to be that Woman of Tomorrow storyline where she's just kind of off dealing with the fact that, her planet is no longer there. But we're going to see, I think, a little more backstory of like the Kryptonian like Exodus and Kandor becoming into bottle size and Brainiac because of that. And then the couple moments we have of Lobo in there are actually very good. I also think that it's interesting that one of the main reasons that she's going to do stuff is because someone shoots Crypto and she's pissed off because someone hurt her dog. And I'm like, I'm like, this
I
movie's my
feel
wife.
that.
Like this movie's going to be about my wife right
It
here.
It's the superhero version of John Wick.
Right? Exact. It's John Wick meets Supergirl. Like, this is gonna be great.
If John Wick had superpowers and was a female, it's
Right?
fine.
And the day before that trailer dropped, Masters of the Universe dropped. Actually, no, I think they both kicked the same day. I think they both hit Tuesday. So
Okay.
Masters of the Universe full trailer kicked out, and man, does this thing rock. Everything from Cringer being the lion in the MGM thing at the beginning,
Nice. I did
to like
see.
Skeletor's laugh, his voice, the Filmation music in it,
Nice.
like tongue lashers in it. Like,
Ooh.
the only thing I didn't like about it, my buddy and I were talking about this, was at the very end, there's like a cut scene where it's like him talking to his like roommate on Earth, and it just feels very out of, like, that should have been the beginning of the
Probably the
trailer,
very,
not the end of
not
the
the end of
trailer.
the trailer.
But it had a very, like, do you remember like that clip where like Thor had a roommate after Dark World?
Oh
Like,
yeah, the
where it's like,
short when the Marvel was doing the Marvel short stuff.
we're, it felt like that to me. But this whole movie feels like the Thor movies, like that vibe of the Thor movies out of the Marvel Universe. So
But the
I'm
good
excited
part,
about
not the
it.
bad part.
In a good way, in a good way.
I
So I'm
did
very
see the
excited.
picture, the updated pictures of Skeletor, and he has the yellow skeleton face, which I am very happy about. I'm real. That tickles me as a true Masters Universe fan of you. They're really trying. Like they're not. They're fan servicing the in the right way, and not just. Oh, do you remember this guy? And this that they're getting the little details, and I'm very happy on that point. On that,
Yeah, I could have went either way. Like, I thought his face being white would have been fine, but he just looked badass in general. Which is why I thought it was cool. But to hear the laugh, like, in the background, I was like, whoa, man. But I really thought it was gonna be our predictions are that it's gonna be, the first act's gonna be him on Earth, the second act's gonna be him finding the sword, and the third act's gonna be all action He-Man muscles, riding Cringer, turning him into Battle Cat, that kind of stuff. So I'm excited. I think that movie's gonna be awesome sauce, and I'm really bummed that I have to wait till the con's over to go see it, because it's gonna come out that week. Although if
Gonna
it
be a
doesn't,
rough.
I'll be honest. If randomly there's a Thursday night showing of it, I might do that. We may not do the show that night, just so you know.
Or no,
When
it'll go
we get
off
a little
Thursday.
closer, we get a little closer, and it's going to be like, yeah, Justin and I are going to go see this movie. Like me and Scott are going to go just because like we need to do something before the show.
We'll zoom dirt like just before the movie starts. Be like, hey, we're doing like a quick 5-minute podcast. And be like, hey, we're seeing the
We'll
movie now. Well,
be
we
back
may
in an
do it
hour. We'll be
after.
back in a couple hours. Yeah, we'll give you the reactions in a couple hours. That may be a possibility. I might say we're gonna do
It's
that.
I have Zoom on my phone, so we can do
Me,
it on
dude, I have it in
the
my car. It's crazy. My car allows the app to work. It's crazy. So anyway, I think it looks great. The Spider-Man one, I still haven't seen the whole way through. But it's funny because, like, you know, there's like somebody from Marvel did say officially Sadie Sink is gonna be Jean Grey. However, I really, really wanted her to either be one of two things. Menace, which is like the gray goblin, female goblin, that was in that storyline, Brand New Day, and then became the mother of Norman Osborn's, or not Norman. What's his son's name? Harry. Harry Osborn's son, Normie, with her, which is the America's Son storyline that was pretty good. And then, or Jackpot. Those were who I was hoping for. But now that she's signed for a 5-movie deal, I'm like, yeah, she's Jean Grey. So
Well, I mean, they're going to have to introduce mutants throughout the whole MCU, and it's going to be different than what we're used to. And it's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, it's fine.
We're going to get new X-Men with the same names. We just don't know who all the actors are going to be. Like, there's going to be a new Wolverine, a new Cyclops, a new Professor X.
Yeah, but I mean, we don't know who they're going to be till like after probably Secret War.
Secret
Yeah.
Wars, yeah.
Because
Because
I
it'll be the end
imagine.
of the Fox group.
Yeah. Because I think those guys are all going to die in either Doom War or Secret War. So,
Yeah,
okay.
they're gonna have that done. I was gonna say, most of C2E2,
Going to say, let's talk about C2E2.
C2E2. Well, most of the talk was on the unfortunate event of CBCS's
CBCS, yeah.
CCS dissolving.
Shift. Well, yes and
Like,
no. So they're
they're not going to do comics anymore.
CBCS was owned by Beckett, which is
Yes.
also partially PSA, I think. So
PSA is,
I think
I want to
PSA.
say it's shareholder. I'm not sure,
Yeah.
like that, like
Yeah, I forget
the,
how it works. They either
yeah.
like bought into it or they bought the company or something. Anyway, so CBCS is no longer doing comic grading, but PSA is doing comic grading through Beckett. So they kind of like are using the same thing, but not with a CBCS label. And you can still do manga, magazines, and a couple other and like video games and other things like that through Beckett.
Back it.
You just can't do it with a CBCS label anymore. Which is crazy, but you know, our buddy Cody did land a similar position in the company, so he's good, and that's all that mattered to me. They took care of our boy, and you know, it sucks because I think that they were a better per I
Product.
personally, this is just me personally, I feel that they're a better quality case than CGC,
They
but
were.
and I thought they were more thorough than CGC with stuff, but that's just me. You know, I can't.
I agree with you. It's I had too
Okay.
much issues with CGC. It like especially the early like my early comic, like getting back into comics and
Yeah.
doing the grading. CGC screwed up a lot.
Yeah.
To me. On my personal,
Right.
I know people are like, "Oh, I've never had an issue." Well, lucky you. Some of us did not have that luck.
Right.
Now, PGX is still out there, which I don't know how they survived.
Me either.
I don't understand it with all the crap that they destroyed and all their stuff that they've dealt with. But that's they're still around. It's I guess I won't be doing any grading period now. Not that I did a ton anyway, but it just kind of sucks that the company that I would give my money to no longer does
Right.
it.
Well, they,
And
I
I
get
don't
like,
trust PSA because PSA has a lot of issues, especially the last month. For those who don't know what happened, I'm sure who if you what you scour YouTube, especially Pokemon cards, you will find what happened. And I'm surprised they didn't get sued. They're not getting sued for this. I'm sure there will be more to the story. But someone who had an old PSA label sent it in to them, a very expensive Pokemon card that was worth 40 grand, they destroyed it. And then they offered only half of the worth that the last time it was listed because they were going, well, we only go by PS or by grading by online this that and the other. And they're
Right.
like the person who hap this happened to said you listed this exact card at a 10, which that was what his was as well. And it went for 40 grand. You sold it on eBay for 40 grand, but you won't give me the 40 grand that you owe me for destroying my card. they only offered him 20 grand.
Wow.
So I'm expecting to see a big lawsuit happen because of this. Because
I
not only
mean,
that, they threatened him if he went public, they weren't going to
wow.
give him anything. And I'm like,
In my brain, I'm going, well, if like it, this is how weird my head works. My brain's going, well, if I only paid like $5 for that card, I'd take the 20 grand. And then I'd be like, and then give me 20 grand worth of credit for anything else I want to send in.
I think it was just
Or
20
like
grand across the board.
free grading for the rest of my life because you've
Yeah,
put in a
something like that.
boiler.
Yeah. But even then, it was like, it's a card that's hard to get. Like, it's an insanely hard to get card because apparently it was only Japanese. You can only get it in
Ooh.
Japan. So it's like, it was one of those rare ones. It's not like a, oh, we can Americanize this. No, this is,
Right.
you got it from Japan in a tournament, and that's the only way you got it. And he got it. So it's
So,
one of those irreplaceable type thing. That's like someone going, "Hey, I have a Hulk number one, and it was a graded at a 9.8." And then you guys, like, they tore it up. Like, it was a 10, and I think they messaged him back. I think it went down to a 6. So they messed up
wow.
the card that badly that it went from a 10 to a 6.
Nice.
And all it was getting was supposed to be a re, like, just a, I don't want to say, it
Like a
wasn't regrading.
relabel.
Yeah, it was just, it was, he just put in for a relabeling because he just wanted an updated label.
Oh,
And
wow.
I'm like,
That sucks.
so that there makes me distrust PSA across the board because I have
So,
expensive stuff and I don't want to send my stuff to them.
Back to the C2E2 chunk, do you feel that Planet Comic Con, which was just down in Kansas City, affected the show?
Yes, it was very light. Now, again, we also had the protest that was happening across the country, and that affected Saturday. But I definitely tell it was a little lighter than it's been in past, but with everything currently going on in the world, I kind of expected it not to be like we were busy. Like we were slammed. We did awesome. But I definitely walked through and I'm like, wow, there's a lot more room in here than I was because the last couple of years it definitely was busier. Like
So this is your
I
third one, right?
yes,
Okay,
my third time I've
cool.
been.
I have also
But
been there 3 times, so.
yeah. So it was a little odd seeing it. It wasn't empty, but I definitely could tell that there wasn't as much attendance as there usually is. And the artists
Right.
were very light as well. Like
Well, it's because
I,
a lot of them were down at Planet Comic Con.
yeah, which that sucks because there was a lot of people there that I saw listed there that I prepped to get stuff signed, and then I got there and they canceled that day or the day before or something. So I didn't even
Bummer.
know they canceled until I got to the table and I'm looking, I'm like, where's the number for this? This guy should be at this table. This is the number. And they're like, oh, he canceled. I'm like, yeah, okay, fine. Next person. I'm
All
I
good.
did, I did, I couldn't complain too much. I did get a couple signatures. I got a free remark. I couldn't like complain too much on that. It was odd that there were certain artists that I was expecting there that live in Chicago that didn't at C2E2. That's where flabbergasted me.
Well, the price of the tables there are insane. So
Yeah,
it's
but
like
it
4 grand for like a corner booth. It's nuts. So
but
anyway.
a lot of these artists make good money though. Like the ones that I
Right.
wanted to get signed were
Well, I'm
slightly
just glad
known
that you had
names.
fun. That's all that matters to me.
I did. It was fun. I had or got to talk to some wrestlers, fun times with them. Maybe possibly getting them to come down to the store and do signings like McFoley did. We did a couple of years ago, so we may get some AEW wrestlers coming down to the store
That'd be
if
kind of
they get a
cool.
hold of you.
They have not.
Well, it's I'm sure
But
they're busy, but
yeah, it's only been a week. It's fine. So,
you know,
okay.
I
So,
do
all
my
right.
best.
So, we have a lot of comics to cover because we have 3 weeks to cover. So I read four books because I wanted to make sure I got Green Lantern 600 in there. So,
Yeah, I figured you were going to do a Green Lantern. Mine's all Wolverine heavy because it's some of the other stuff that I was going for, like they didn't put stuff out, so I was like, oh.
Well, also, did you get my message about the Wolverine book, the second one? Because you never
Oh,
responded,
the
but
Wolverine, the
I'm
Weapons
assuming
of
I was correct.
Armageddon.
Okay,
Yeah, the Weapons of
cool.
Armageddon.
So that's
Yeah.
like that other one does not exist. So I'm assuming it's this. All right.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's multiple weeks worth of books here to talk about. So my first
Yeah.
book is going to be Batwoman number one. So this is by Greg Rucka, and Danny is the artist, which
Love
is,
that cover.
yeah, like there are moments in this book, because the same guy that did the cover did the interiors, right? Parts of it, like the nighttime stuff, like that looks phenomenal. The daytime stuff doesn't look as good to me. But Greg Rucka, he wrote the Batwoman elegy run. He did Batwoman for a long time. He knows the character. This was pretty cool because it was basically like Kate's in an asylum in Greece, or a recovery place, I guess, in Greece, and she's talking to a shrink, and she keeps reverting back to this fight between her and Alice. It makes it sound like she's crazier, but I don't think. I think the person in the therapy thing, I don't think it's Kate. I think that's actually Alice. But there's some awesome art in here, especially in like what little fight scenes we do see. Like I said, where it's dark, it looks crazy good. And for the like that's really the gist of the book, was just kind of getting people reacquainted with the fact that, Kate and Alice are sisters. Alice was supposed to have died a long time ago. Her actual name is Beth, but she becomes the supervillain Alice, which is kind of like her Joker. And in this book, Alice is under the influence of Darkseid. So they're trying to get her to not bring Darkseid to the Earth. So there's a really great fight. It's like 6 pages long. Alice is like dual fisting pistols at one point, and then she's trying to stab her with a knife. And then they both kind of fall into a pit, and then Kate's sad in the thing. So that's kind of where you leave it off. Except that there's like some Greek bad guys that want to bring Darkseid to Earth still. And then Batwoman shines a light at them at the end and is just like, come and get me, fuckers. And I always say fuckers because it's like that squiggly ampersand, like number sign, whatever, like thing where it's like four little word. But I can't be like, I'm like, is it the C word? I think that might be the only one that works. Like, honestly, whatever. But anyway, the art in this is very, very good. I think the story just needs another issue to pick up and move forward. So I'm very
Nice.
excited about that. And then in the back, there's a cool Deathstroke Terminator preview, which actually looked pretty good as well. And that is by Tony Fleeks. I think that came out last week, I think. But anyway, this book is kind of messed up a bit. So I'm gonna give this Anthrax Madhouse.
Nice.
Yeah, because it's heavy, it's thrashy, it's everything you want. It's got action, and then it has that little bit of psychotherapy overtone. Or I could use Psychotherapy by the Ramones, but I think I want to use Madhouse. So
Okay.
come on. There you go.
There we go. We got Ultimate Wolverine number 15. And we got
I'm going
one
to
more issue.
preface to let people know every book of Justin's is a Wolverine book this week.
Yes. Yeah. But they're all from different weeks. Let's say, just be clear, these all did not come out. Like this one was a couple weeks ago. Yeah, this was just before I went to C2E2. I think it was the week before.
So many Wolverines.
It's true, but it, to be fair, it's not nearly as bad as it was last year, where they were putting out a Wolverine book like every week. So it's
Oh
not
yeah,
like
that's true. I remember that. That was
it's only
crazy.
the good ones so far. So far, I have not complained about any of the Wolverine books that have come out so far this year.
Yeah.
But here's Ultimate Wolverine, and we're getting to the end of the story, guys. And I tell you what, Marvel needs to do more of this stuff where they make even like a Wolverine book like this, where it's very usual Wolverine stuff, but with just enough of a twist where it makes the story interesting. Basically, the book starts out with Magic claiming Limbo over what's that, Bellisono, I believe is pronunciation of that demon's name. She basically just slices him in half and kills him. And then the Sentinel One, Jean, and Logan are heading toward Latveria. And they see a soldier. They are seeing like bodies everywhere. And they're like, this is really weird because the closer they get to Latveria, the more bodies they seem to be finding. Which they should be seeing less, to be honest, because Latveria is off limits to pretty much the faction that they've been fighting, what's left of it anyway. But they see a soldier who's acting very, for the lack of a better term, I'm going to say possessed, which I think that's about as good as a good. It very zombified. Like he's sitting there, like white eyes. He's just slaughtering like whatever's left. He goes and attacks Logan. Logan takes care of him pretty easily because the guy's not with it. Jean's like trying to read the soldier's mind, and she's saying it's like reading like a million minds in one mind.
Crazy.
And Logan takes care of him in quick fashion. But as the blood from the soldier seeps like onto Logan, he all of a sudden kind of reverts kind of back to almost like the Winter Soldier again, to the point where he lashes out against Jean, and he runs away, and Sentinel One and Jean find him, and Jean uses the power of the Phoenix's power to burn the blood that infected him out of his body. And as he recovers, Logan says he found where magic is, and she's in limbo, and he knows how to get there. And that's basically the end of the book. It's a really good, like, I'm really enjoying the story. It's a shame it's ending. But I have to say, this is one of my favorite Wolverine stories of all time so far, and I've read pretty much all of them. What am I gonna put in this? I just heard this song and it reminds me of this. How about Megadeth, Addicted to Chaos? I feel
Yeah, that's not the
like
new
that.
one, right? Isn't
No,
that
this is
not the new
from
one?
youth. That's from Euthanasia.
Oh, that's right. Holy shit, man. You're right. You're right. I
It
saw them
popped
on
up on my
tour for that, I
Spotify
think.
the other day, and I'm like, I was. That's one of my favorite songs to sing to from Euthanasia. It's a really good song, very underrated one.
My one of my chats is blowing up. They're complaining about half of them are excited that Blaze Bailey is now part of the Iron Maiden Hall of Fame lineup, and the other half are not excited about it. And I'm just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. His two albums were not bad. Like, if anything, they were at least as good as the last two Bruce records. So,
Oh, did you, slightly off topic, did you see Steel City Con announced Corey Taylor coming to Pittsburgh?
I did not. I saw Dave Davies from the Kinks is coming though.
Yeah,
So
but
that's kind of cool.
he's coming and the bassist from Disturbed's coming.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing with that whole thing, but I mean
I
Corey
don't know
Taylor at least
either.
wrote comics.
Yeah, I almost kind of have to go to Steel City Con now and see if I could sneak in there and meet
Ha!
Corey Taylor.
Yeah, no. I actually I'm actually busy that weekend. I can't go anyway. So, but anyway, moving on, continuing with some awesomely cool comics. This was the oversized 600th issue of Green Lantern. The part that's kind of cool is like the cover is awesome because it has like everybody on here. The problem is not all of them are in the book. So it starts out where Hal kind of leaves Earth to Kyle. There's also four stories in this. The first one is Kyle and Odyssey moving to LA, and she kind of gets a or then he kind of tells her the story of how he became a Green Lantern. Like his mom was an artist, he became an artist. He fell in love with Alex DeWitt. Then a guy, this guy that wanted him to draw comics, who kind of looks like Stan Lee, not gonna lie. Gives him a card, and he starts working in comics. And he can't keep up with the deadlines, so she basically is like she almost like moves out. So he goes out with her one night. And she's like, "You're gonna have to do more than just this," and blah, blah, blah. And then he goes out into the hall, the alleyway, and that's where Gantha shows up, which is not 100% how the origin actually worked. But unless this is a new alternate version of his story, because in the original, Alex got murdered and was stuffed in a fridge. That's where girlfriends and fridges came from, and why Gail Simone hates that, because it was like a bad trope. I agree, but whatever. So anyway, then he became known as the Torchbearer. You find out that this other guy at Lost Cause Studios, which is a movie studio, basically fired everybody in the art department and bought a shit ton of AI, and then like this alien bug in kind of takes him over and like incorporates the AI into him. So they're moving into their apartment. Barry or Wally West shows up. There's a lot of fun shenanigans with them, which actually was a pretty good story between Kyle and Wally, because they were a team up for a long time. So they basically break into the studio, and while they're in the studio, the dude comes out, and the creatures from the movies they made are giant constructs now, giant light constructs. So Kyle's kind of like fighting construct with construct, and they eventually get the alien bug thing to come out of him. We also get to see the pr this is also the premiere of his new suit, which is kind of a mix of his classic suit with a little bit of Ion, in my opinion. I really like it. I think it looks sleek. So they end up, at the top of the Hollywood sign, and then it cuts to Hal, and he's in space with one of the Wonder Twins, and they're basically going to fight a ton of Manhunters, including, like, they're stuck in a room, so he talks. He talks Jaina into turning herself into a giant grizzly bear, and then he rides her through the Manhunters, like beating up Manhunters on this giant grizzly bear. It is hilarious. Then they escape, and then there's like a backstory of Hal Jordan and how he was picked on in school and his dad died. But when he was picked on, he said, "Screw this, I'm just gonna fight." Then he joined the Air Force, and then his dad was, or his mom was sick, so he quit the Air Force. And when he went to see her, she had just passed. So he started working at Ferris Air, and that's where he met Carol. And his dad actually worked at Ferris Air too. Then it kind of ends with him becoming, the greatest Green Lantern of all time. And then there's a cool little quick Kyle story by the original Kyle creators of Ron Mars and Darryl Banks called Light in Darkness, where Kyle kind of helps out some new recruits. And they're like all freaking out. They're like, "You're the Torchbearer! Oh my God, you're the Torchbearer!" And he kind of, helps them through this one mission that they're learning. And then he just is like, "I'm gonna go paint on this weird planet," which is pretty good. So I'm it overall, it was just a lot of stuff in this book. But the art's fantastic. The writing was solid. I'm happy to see a Ron Mars and Darryl Banks team up in there. I think it's cool that Kyle got a little bit to shine. And I think going forward, the book is going to be half Kyle, half Hal, which is fine because, I mean, not to take away from any of the other lanterns, but I believe that those are probably the two most popular Green Lanterns that exist. Outside of maybe Alan Scott, the Golden Age Green Lantern. There's still love for John Stewart and Guy Gardner, especially Guy Gardner for me, and Baz and Jessica and a bunch of the others. Man, this is a hard book to think about a song for. Man, I'm gonna go with the Aerosmith cover of the Beatles "Come Together"
Huh?
from the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band movie, which was hilariously terrible if you've never seen it. So, but it's really good. Go check it out.
Right, we got the Logan Black, White and Blood. I think this is the last one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because the last story is kind of like one of those. It has the sense of finality to it. But the first story is called the Monster in the Dark. And now it's a it says it starts out in 1979, but then gets thrown back even further in time to 1913, where there's it's in Canada. In the woods, per normal, and you're seeing a crowd of people, and they're searching for children. Now they see Wolverine, and they're like, "You're a stranger. Are you the one who took our children? This, that, and the other?" And he's like, "I'm just passing through, and I have not seen any children." Well, of course, it takes like the first like couple panels after that is like some one of the female villagers is like, "Hey, this is obviously not is like if he had the kids, would he actually be here talking to us?" And he wouldn't just like, he's not the guy we're looking for. They're like, "We'll get out of here because we're searching for our kids." And of course, he wants to walk away, but because it's children involved, he goes and searches for them himself. And true fashion, he tracks down this, I guess he has to be a mutant. He kind of looks like Nosferatu, like the art, like the character looks like a Nosferatu with a beard. Basically, it's he's like, "I'm doing this because I need to survive." He's like, "It's the only way I can live is by like feeding on children." And Logan's like, yeah, well, they had this debate on who's a bigger monster. Logan takes care of him pretty quickly. But you feel sympathy for him because he had no control over his, for him to survive, he had to feed on children. And he referred to Logan as his friend till the end, where he's like, I'm worried that he's like, I'm not, you're going to be the only monster, like, and not just, just when I found somebody who's as monstrous as I am. But he does, rescue the kids and takes them back. And then before the villagers could thank him, he disappears. And you're teleported right back to 1979, and the old man that is talking to his granddaughter and telling him the story happened to be one of the kids that Logan rescued, because he has the same scar on his arm that he got as a child during the fight between Logan and the other mutant. So that was the end of that one. Then there was one where we see Patch in Madripoor. It doesn't specify a date. It just says not long ago. And it's Patch gets a mask from one of his constituents in Madripoor, telling him to be careful because this mask is dangerous. And Patch is like, it's fine, I'll handle it if anything comes up. And as Patch starts walking away, he gets attacked by a ninja, and the ninja beats the crap out of Patch.
Okay.
And just when you think Patch is going to turn it around, the ninja pops claws. So the ninja ends up being Logan, and Patch is Mystique. Well, he refers to her as Raven, so she's known as Raven at this point.
Right. That's pretty
So
funny. Good writing.
apparently,
Good writing.
but Raven was getting the mask for Destiny because that's Destiny's thing. She was getting her the mask as a gift. And Logan's like, you don't know what this mask is. There is a story that there's possibly a demon that possesses this mask. And Raven's like, well, I don't believe in that kind of crap. It's just a mask. And as she started with it, Amber! Sorry, guys. The mask comes alive and starts and takes over Mystique, and Logan's telling her to fight the demon in the mask. And as he's telling her this, she's fighting him. They're fighting each other. But as he's fighting Raven's turning into the different stages, the different kinds of Wolverines. We see the Weapon X version. We see the OG, like the OG, his OG costume.
Oh, nice.
Finally, Logan wins by giving her a solid headbutt to the face and breaks the mask in pieces.
That's awesome.
And then she's like, well, do I have to thank you? And he's like, hey, he's like, we don't, he's like, you don't have to thank me. Just get out of Madripoor and I don't ever let me see you again. And that was the end of that story. And the final story is the one that makes me think that this is the last book of the series. Is you're seeing this very sci-fi aliens crawling on the surface of a very messed up Earth. Like, there's no life. These drones are scanning, and they're scanning for life forms. They're scanning the planet, and yet it goes back, and you're seeing these warships, and they're scavenging for resources, and this, that, and the other. And you start seeing bits and pieces of Sentinels, and you see a graveyard of X's in this open field that these drones find. And they find one organic being, and it's just sitting there kneeling in front of these X's. And the drones are like, there's nothing, it's not responding. It's still alive, but it's not responding. Well, they go and they're starting to terraform into the graves. But that's when the kneeling figure disappears from where it was and rips one of the drones in half and starts attacking him and saying, don't touch this. There's no words, like he doesn't say anything, but you get the inclination that he is standing guard over all of the X-Men's graves. And you don't know like the year. It doesn't tell you the year at the end of this book. You're saying it's like so far into the future that he's just there regenerating and kneeling in front of graves and protecting the X-Men. Not even sure why he's like taking guard, and kind of very sad ending that he would be the last X-Men, but it's certainly not the first time we've seen him in a story where he would be the last surviving X-Men out of all of them. But that is the end of that. I'm not sure what I would put through this. It's so difficult because it's so many different time periods. Let's do something kind of a little off the normal. How about Huey Lewis in the News going back in time? I feel like that's the whole series in a nutshell, is like the back and forth of time travel in the, like, as long as he's lived so long that you're seeing different variations. I feel like that's appropriate song, even though it's a little peppier than it should be for the for a Wolverine book, but
Yeah. All right. Sorry. I was having a, it was getting blown up by one of our artists, which is cool because when we're done with this, I'm going to show you the pen and inks for the beer label. So
oh,
it
nice.
is awesome.
Cool.
Also, that reminds me, before we move on real quick, artist Ali Garza will be doing a, last year he did the Harley Quinn Black and Gold Steeler, Harley Quinn. This
Yes.
year, Supergirl.
Nice.
I've seen the sketch of it, and I'm excited for it. So, but
Nice.
it'll be awesome, man. So, all right. My next book is Captain Marvel: Dark Past, by Paul Jenkins, which is great because Paul Jenkins is getting a bunch of work now again because he's back. He was doing Sentinel, or not Sentinels, Sentry. And some other stuff, and he actually had done some Captain Marvel back in the day when she was Miss Marvel. So this starts off where Carol's kind of figuring out what the hell's going on in their head, because when Rogue took her powers and she then lost all of her memories, and then the Brood had to put them back in, and blah blah blah. There were parts of her memory that wasn't still there. So she meets Tony to go to an AA meeting. And instead of going to the AA meeting, they go to coffee instead. And they talk about the stuff, and Tony kind of is like, you probably need a therapist. So she's just kind of like, I don't know what's going on. So she just keeps having this memory of her dad, being pissed off in a barn at their house. Later, you find out that was the day her mom died. So then Iron Man and Carol go into a go to a call, and here the Wrecking Crew has supercharged their weapons with Kree tech, to the point where they are denting Iron Man's armor. The thing I thought was interesting is was how Paul wrote the Wrecking Crew as like the catcalling kind of a-holes that I always assumed they were. Like where Wrecker goes, "What's the matter, baby? Don't you like a little extra crease spice, just like your mama used to make?" And I was like, "Oh man, that's like pretty rough there." So it is. It was pretty good. Like the fight scenes are great. The art in this book is absolutely phenomenal. The writing is great. And then it goes to Carol talking to her mom at a grave, and she remembers, oh, that's the day you died, and or the day, sorry, it was the day her brother died, and that was the day that, or that's when her dad said it should have been her instead of him that died, and it kind of all kind of stuck with her. Then Chewie makes an appearance. Chewie is what, what the hell did they name her cat in the movie? I forget the Flurkin, right? In the comics, he's Chewie. I always refer to him as Chewie because of that. Like Chewie's in there watching her sleep, and she has another memory of being like back when she was a reporter. She went in and found this file that just said DNVR on it. That's all it said on it. She's like, "What the hell is this?" Cut to her hanging out with Jessica Drew, where they're having pie and wine, like just hanging out, having like a girls' morning kind of thing. And then they go to a giant hole in the ground, to investigate. They find the same piece of paper or part of that folder that says DNVR on it, and that's where that one ends. And it kind of goes into where the next ep or next issue will be, where it's going to be a lot. We're going to see a lot more of the Warbird armor, which is the Warbird suit, which is basically the black. You see it there on the right, the black basically swimsuit with the belt, like the tie belt. Which I'll be honest, I loved that outfit. I thought it was great. Only because not because like, it's skimpy, but because it was just kind of like, I don't need armor. I'm just gonna beat the shit out of people. And it was and that's why I liked it, really. The new one's cool too. It's a little manga-esque for me, because she's like kind of like a almost like a pirate, but I do like the design. I just like the old one better. So I even picked up the J. Scott Campbell cover of this because it was that cool.
I like that she's wearing her old outfit too.
Yeah, that's the Warbird outfit. Yeah, because I was told. She was called Warbird very, very shortly when she started wearing that, and that's when I had like the football like shoulder pads and stuff on it, yeah. So this is still awesome. I'm going to use. Man, I want to use like this whole Dream Theater record, but I can't do that.
Why not? It's our
Because,
podcast.
so, well, okay, so I'm using the entire Scenes from a Memory Dream Theater record, okay? Which is Metropolis Part 2, the Scenes from a Memory. Oh, okay, actually, you know what? I'll just use Metropolis Part 1 because it kind of like gives like the nickel tour of the whole story for it. But if you guys haven't listened to Dream Theater's Scenes from Memory record, it is a concept record about a guy who keeps having these flashbacks, and it's actually his previous life of him being this little girl who then grows up and then gets killed by her cheating husband. Like it's all kinds of crazy. So definitely check it out. It's awesome, but it's super intense and complex, just like Captain Marvel.
The final one is Wolverine Weapons of
Whoa.
Armageddon.
Your final one. I have one
My
more.
final one. Yeah, you have one more. Yeah, taking up an extra one. Now this was last week, I think. This was last week's or this week's, I think. I don't know. It's hard to keep track when you're not in, when you're off your normal schedule. But it picks up where it leaves off, where we see a little bit of Nuke's origin. Like, we never really got like a true origin from him. You see it in this book where this was Wolverine working for the CIA, and he was the one who captured Nuke and took him to the Weapon X program. Well, the Americanized version of Weapon X, whatever you want to call it. I'm just going to say Weapon X program because it's basically all, it's the same program, just a different name half the time. But he captured him. He was in the same tank that Wolverine was doing, and like he was the one who scarred up his face, like because he had to beat him down to bring him in. And then we flash forward, and it's Nuke and his handler searching for the new kid. What is his name? Let's say Nathan. Is it Nathan? Tyler, sorry. And they're trying to find him, and his handler, they go out for the search. While they're doing that, Logan and Terry are talking to who we figure out is David Coulton, the unknown Captain America. Who he was the closest to becoming Captain America, except the serum tore his heart up, so his he has an artificial heart thanks to Tony Stark, but he has all of Steve's strengths. Doesn't use the shield though, but we see like this book still has a lot of flashbacks. We see a flashback where Nuke is being trained, very similar to the way Logan was when he was in Weapon X in Canada, where he takes on a bear. We find out the like the US is used pills instead of the way Canada was using brainwashing. But this was more the US thought it was easier to use the pills, and each pill does like takes him up to a net different level of strength. Was it white pill keeps him normal? Blue pill brings him down, but the red pill is the one that jacks up his adrenaline, and he has like insane amount of strength and agility. And you actually see like during one of the flashbacks where the one scientist locks the I guess he would be the head of the program at the time, and because he was such a douche, the scientist locked him in and gave the Nuke the red pill, and Nuke killed him. We don't see it, but it's implied. Meanwhile, Tyler is naked going through a trash can, trash can for clothes and stuff at a secondhand store. Scares the living crap out of an employee, almost kills him. But Tyler comes to his senses. He's like, "I'm sorry," and he just runs away and takes like a jacket and a pair of pants and runs away. And we get a little bit more about the, we get the rundown of what actually they did to Tyler, which is basically we find out that he has regenerative abilities similar to Deadpool and Wolverine, but they implemented nanites with adamantium, similar to the way Iron Man's suit is nanites.
Well, it used to be, but it's not anymore, but yeah.
But that they incorporated like Stark tech with adamantium, and now he, when he is stressed or when he's ready for battle, the nanites cover his entire body in adamantium,
Kind
and
of cool.
actually is through his bloodstream, which is, it really looks kind of cool. He looks very similar to who I want to say, Pitt. Kind of looks like Pitt from Image.
Okay.
Like when he's like starting to like freak out and the claws come out, very similar Pitt art style, which look, he looks really cool. But again, we've seen really cool versions of attempts of Wolverine, you know, Weapon H, and that did not go well after like that first series of that. But Nuke finally tracks Terry and Logan down to the cabin, and you see him with a rocket launcher, and he's like, "F you, Logan!" And he just blows up the whole cabin, and that's kind of the end of the book.
That's
I
hilarious.
kind of been, I'm very much enjoying, like, I'm a big Weapon X fan. I love these stories, especially like Wolverine trying to prevent like others going through the same process he went through, even though he's partially responsible for what's going on now. But it's always fun to see this stuff. What do I want to put in this one? Something with Armageddon in it. I want to say Gojira is the band that I'd love to use. I'm just trying to think of a song.
Oh man, so many good tunes.
It's I swear there was one that Armageddon is in the title of one of theirs, but it's been a while since I've looked them up. And I don't have any albums on me to look it up right now, but we'll just go with that.
So just some random Gojira song.
Yeah, let's just do
Okay.
that.
Okay.
It
All right.
works.
It works. My last book is Magic: The Gathering Untold Stories, Jace. I did the Elspeth book. It was very good. It was only a three-part book, three or four-part book. This is the same creative team doing this one. This starts out with Jace falling into a pit, and he's remembering things. So he's talking to Vraska, on what looks like most likely Ixalan at some point. But he's like the grindstone is actually shown used in his brain. It's pretty interesting. But he talks about how things were taken from him. So he like there's one where like one of the manticores disappears from his brain when he was an agent of Bolas. But he remembers Tezzeret. He starts off remembering himself as a young farm lad in Vern, on in the plain of Ravnica. He goes into the Ravnica where he's a thief, working for Tezzeret. And then they break into a Boros Legion storage room, and Jace uses his powers to kind of make people not realize that they're not really guards. They go to steal the Sunforger, which is a giant freaking hammer. So Tezzeret uses it to like beat up all the guards, and they get out of there. And Vraska is still trying to help him remember stuff. And then he goes to this other time where he's talking to Tezzeret. to is like follow me to a treasure. And then it they kind of they fall through the maelstrom into Dominaria. And that it, but on the island of Shiv, which the island of Shiv is basically like a giant, it, think of like Mustafar from Star Wars. That's Shiv. It's lava, fire, dragons, all kinds of things burning. And it's one of the original Dominaria is the original plane, so you know we're gonna see them go to Dominaria, which is actually kind of cool in my opinion.
They need to get
I'm
back into the lore, I think.
yeah,
Magic's
well, I
kind of
mean
getting lost with them.
the last comics were kind of in the lore, but this one this book really does it sets itself well. But because he's kind of like lost his shit and he's trying to remember it all, I'm now going to use psychotherapy correctly in this one because Rask is kind of giving him psychotherapy. So but I'll use the to make it a little more metal, I'll use the Skid Row cover of it.
There you
So but yeah. But yeah, those are all the comics we got. Make sure you guys check them out. You can pick them up at your local LCS. You know, there are a lot of them in the Pittsburgh area, so go check them out.
Yes.
And most of those books will still probably be on the wall because they're all within the last couple of weeks. So, other than that, you guys have a good Easter. You know,
Oh,
that's coming up.
I didn't get to show you guys what I got, who signed my stuff here from
Oh, yeah.
the thing.
I thought you would have done
Yeah.
that during the C2E2 part, but
Well, I
sure.
probably did. We got into the thing of bullshitting, and
It's all good.
the first one is I got Philip Kennedy Johnson, the writer for the Incredible Hulk and the Infernal Hulk right now.
Yeah.
Nice dude. Had a
Super
good
cool dude.
conversation. Yeah, he signed my Hulk number one here. Yeah, I told him like I enjoy his Hulk writing. I was like, you're definitely top three Hulk writers in my eyes. Like, and this is from, I was like, somebody who's read like pretty much almost every Hulk thing storyline. And I told him, I was like, you're right up there. I was like, I love your, like, all the storylines, like, especially what the story with the little kid and the Hulk. Like, he took that from real life, he was saying about that, where he knew somebody, like, who lived out of a bus and life was not kind to them. Now he's like, there were. Obviously, he made other he tweaked the things here and there, but he's like that was something he took from his own personal life and he put it into the story. And I was like, that's deep, that's awesome. I had who's this one? This is Alvard Martinez Bruno, he's the one who did the
Nice.
art for that. He was a super nice dude. He was busy though. He had a lot going on. This one is the free remark I got because I got there. I was the first one sitting in line. Is Jason Sean Alexander.
Ooh, that's a
It
cool remark.
is. It, well, he was like, he was telling me like what he was charged. I was like, well, I was like, if you don't mind, I was like, I would just take the signature. I would have been happy with that. And he's like, I sat there. He's like, you sat there. You didn't bug me. You let me set up because he was like late setting up. And he's like, here you go. I was like, oh, I was like, well, how much for
See,
your
it pays to
signatures?
be nice. It
Yeah.
pays to
He,
be the nice guy.
yeah. And all the guys behind me were like, oh, dude, that's awesome. And the next guy was like, can I have mine free? He's like, no, you get charged. And
Nice.
I kind of laughed at that. I was like, oh, I was like, dude,
Oh.
that's rough. But the guy had like
Yeah.
three blank books he wanted done. And
But you got
like,
to be personable about it. You got to be personable about it. Yeah.
I think
So.
it was just the right timing, and that was my my luck for the show.
All good.
Joe gifted me these.
Nice.
Yeah, Joe sized.
Yeah,
Like
they're like
Astros.
the hell do they call those? Reaction figures.
Yeah, but they're basically just G.I. Joes. It's
Yeah,
just
they're the three and three
Astros.
quarter size. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. I there was the Danhausen one, but he kept the Danhausen ones for himself. He gave me these. I was like, I'll take
It's the one
it.
I actually really want, but it's cool.
I'm not gonna complain. It's free,
Free
you
stuff's free
know,
stuff.
free stuff. I'm not gonna complain.
I just sent you that Supergirl, just
That looks pretty good.
So, all right. Yeah, we will I guess we'll see everybody next week. I may have a guest next week who is an indie guy that was at PI. We'll talk about that probably this weekend. Yeah, everybody have a great Easter if you celebrate. If not, you can wait a week and do the Orthodox Easter or whatever. Or happy solstice, or well, that was last week, I think. But anyway,
We're a couple weeks behind, so you know,
anyway,
we gotta
have
catch up.
fun, be safe, have fun, be safe, and you guys support your local comic shop, man. That's what it's all about. Like, we wouldn't be here without you, and we appreciate it. All right, we will see you guys later.